Beloved, we are glad to have you join us for this sermon. We pray that it inspires you, draws you closer to the knowledge of God, and builds your faith. Be blessed as you listen.
Demon tremble at your feet in your presence. Barakatania.
At your presence. What a mighty God we serve. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Everything, oh,
everything written about you is great.
Presence in our midst this afternoon, we say thank you for bringing an end to every form of attack in the life of your people. We say thank you for breaking all the invisible barriers. We say thank you for the liberty for your people. We say thank you for the freedom for your people. We say thank you. Holy Spirit, do what no man can do in this service. Interrupt with signs and wonders. In this service, let everyone be imparted. Let anyone afflicted be set free. Let the captivity be liberated. In the name of Jesus Christ, glorify yourself and let your name alone be praised. Thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Somebody will say a bigger amen. Put your hands together. Let's comfortably take our seat in His presence. I want to appreciate God and His servant in the house for the privilege to bring unto us the teaching for this second service. I trust God and I believe God that somebody will be living here with their own testimony. We are still on our prophetic focus. I'm redeemed for the top. Can you say that to yourself? Declare that prophetically. So anytime you are asked, where do you belong? What will be your response? What will be your response? You are on top. You are on top of circumstances. You are on top of failure. You are on top of challenges. Anything that brings men down from today will no longer locate you. So I believe, God, that where we are meant to be, the Holy Ghost will usher us there. And our Sunday teaching series, we have been looking at understanding the demands of sources. Understanding the demands of sources. Understanding the demands of sources. Can I say this? Sources is not transferable. It's not transferable. Stop wishing your father to depart early so that he can inherit those properties. It's not transferable. It must be earned. Somebody say it must be earned. What you don't earn, you can't sustain. What you don't earn. So success is not transferable. If your father is a professor and you say, Daddy, one thing I need from you, that baptize me with that professorship, you'll be arrested for impersonation because that is not the real you. You can't transfer it. You must earn it. You must earn it. That is why all throughout, we are looking at the steps that one need to take to attain success in their endeavors. Hear this. We have been redeemed for the top. And each one is mandated to make their way there. It's not a slogan. I'm redeemed for the top. Anytime you are going up, you are going against gravity. There is a force against you. So to overcome that force, you need to put in more force. So success is not a slogan. It is work. Somebody say it is work. That is why Bible even admonishes us. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of thy God, to observe and to do. Somebody say observe and do what? To do. Do is a verb. It's a doing work. So you are hearing it, but there is something that you need to do to get you there. And that is where Christians miss out. It's not only prayer that will make you successful. There is what to do. After you have prayed, there is what to do. There is always what to do. And that is what God is telling you and I, that I want to make you successful, but there is something that you must do. I pray that this service, God will show you what to do. And you have done all his commandments, which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all. So after you have done what I've instructed you, then now you have triggered the virtue of success. And I, God, will position you there. I believe, God, for somebody hearing me, that where you are meant to be, God will take you there. So the top is where we belong by redemption. But each one is to make their way there by doing what the word says we must do. So today, we are looking at another factor that is going to help us. And that is discipline. Somebody say discipline. Discipline. Discipline is what we are focusing on this afternoon. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 5. It says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. As an error, it is wrong, which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity. The rich sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. This is a picture of a believer that will not take steps. Clear picture. Servants are on horses and princes are walking. It's contradiction. But the question is, what has caused this? Let's jump to verse 10. Let's jump to verse 16 of the same chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. Let's see the challenge over there. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princess eats in the morning. He's talking about indiscipline. Woe! When the king is a child. Imagine a child ruling. And they eat every morning, no discipline in place. And the Bible began that by saying, whoa, watch out. But when you go to verse 17, look at the next verse now. He said, blessed art thou, O Lamb, when thy king is the son of the noble. Now he has matured. And thy princes eat in due season. They regulate the time that they need to eat. For they have strength and not for drunkenness. So we need to put our life in order to attain where God has positioned you and I. So this subject of discipline, I believe God that this afternoon God will open our eyes. Hear me, success in life is not by accident. It is not by accident. It requires certain demands. And one of the greatest demands in success is discipline. It's discipline. Now, let me shock you with this. Many people have visions. They have talents. They have opportunities. Yet, they fail because they lack the discipline required. The vision is very clear. The opportunities are wide. The giftings are there. But the discipline aspect is missing. And that is why it will not surprise you that in the Christendom, most Christians fail woefully. Because they know that I can only pray, but they don't do what they are meant to do to put things to work. Discipline. Somebody say discipline. Its success is not determined only by talent or opportunity, but the discipline required. The discipline required. The discipline required. Hear this. Discipline turns vision into achievement. A man that is disciplined will turn his vision that God has given him into achievement. It turns potential into performance and dreams into reality. Vision into achievement, potential into performance, and dreams into reality. There are so many of you sitting here that you carry wonderful dreams, but the discipline required to bring that dream into reality, that is missing. But today, the word of God, which is the rod, will correct us today. Where discipline is absent, destiny is endangered. Destiny is endangered. We saw that in the case of Samson. Had a great strength, but lacked the personal discipline and messed up his destiny. Success is not a result of only talent. It's the reward of consistent discipline. Not only talent. If you are a footballer, you have the skills, you have the gifting, and you don't add training and strict rules, you will not fly. You will not fly. Why do they train every day? Their talent is there. They can just go and just be selected and be playing the match. But they have to go through that routine. They have to go through that strict rule to get themselves fit for the assignment. Even when you go, when you have an injury and you are coming back, there is a fitness level that they have to take you through. The gifting will be there, all right. But it has to be enhanced through discipline. It has to be enhanced. There are so many of us gifted over here. Gifted over here. But the challenges, the discipline required to bring the dream to reality is missing. But I believe God that as the word of God come unto us, every one of us will sit up. I didn't hear a bigger amen. There are some people that they cannot see money and not spend. Lack of control. The day money enter into their camp, all the shops in town will know that they are around. From one window to another, they don't need it, but they will still buy it. That is lack of discipline. If you are budgeted, you don't need money to step out. The budget will speak for itself. It's when you need that will trigger it. But they don't need, but they will still buy it. Particularly when they hear, buy one, get one free. They don't need, but they will still buy. Go to their wardrobe. So many of them are there who are not even using it. Waste. A wasted life can never make a life of impact. May God increase us. I say, may God increase us. So discipline is possessing a sense of mission in pursuit of any given task. Possessing a sense of mission in pursuit of any given task. That means you are where you have your well-defined goals. You package yourself towards it actualizing and realizing these goals. You have a well-defined goals. You bring yourself under subjection to ensure that that goal must be achieved. Well, let me add this. As a church, we have a target this season. Operation what? Rescue. A disciplined person will be focused. And how many souls are we mandated to bring in by the end of this operation? 3 souls. So all your senses must come alive. There is something that needs to be done in the kingdom. And as you are taking charge of his business, he step in your own business as well. I trust God that today, whatever God has entrusted into our hands will come to fruition. Look at something over here. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let me read this in the Amplified version. Technically, look for the Amplified, at least for better clarity, so that we can move ourselves from the dawa and the giveth and go to the proper one, so that we can understand. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. The Amplified says, everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything or brought under its power, allowing it to control me. Allowing it to control me. Social media is permissible, but I wouldn't allow social media to control me. There are some people that they are hearing now. The time that you spend on social media is more than the time that you invest in your business. And you know what they are looking at? TikTok. Then they'll be laughing. What again? I'll not mention it. You just tell me. They will laugh, they are laughable all throughout. They do 1 minute, they spend 5 minutes. They do 1 minute of work, they spend 5 minutes. Such a person is not disciplined with his time. If you are engaging it for your business, you have every right because it's adding value to you. I'm talking to those that is not adding any value. You message everybody on your platform. What is the message? Hello, how are you eating? Have you eaten? What did you eat? If they have not eaten, are you going to feed them in the first place? Does it add any value to you? Stealing people's time. Instead of investing productively into the assignment, you are wasting away the time. May God increase us. As I'm talking now, somebody is not listening. So still on Instagram. He's still testing. God forgive you. God forgive you. He's still busy chatting people here and there. Instead of hearing the word and allow yourself to it, you are still wasting away your time. May God forgive you. When I call for salvation, make sure you raise up your hand. Discipline. Very, very essential. What is permissible should not dominate your time. Shouldn't dominate your time. What is discipline? It is operating as commanded. Not as convenient. Operating as commanded, not as convenient in your quest to achieve your goals. As commanded, not convenient. If you are waiting for the convenient time to step out, can I tell you, the weather will always be cold. The weather will always be cold. The weather will be, if you don't have long summer, we have more winter. So it's better you relocate. That means this country can never celebrate you. You are not waiting for the convenient time, but as what? Commanded. You are meant to be at work at 8 a.m. It's at commanded, not as convenient. If you don't go,
and there is people that they are about to be laid off, and they start looking at the list, they say, this person always comes very late. It's not adding value. It's wasting away the time. Then, when you hear that news, it's become a prayer point. Hear me? If you are disciplined, you will scale through. You don't care what the management will bring in because you know you are productive and you are adding value. But if you are a waster, your name flags out the first. But that will not be us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amos chapter 6 verse 1. Amos 6 verse 1. Woe to them that are ease in Zion. When the Bible says woe, it means be very careful. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 23. Talking about Nehemiah and his colleagues. Nehemiah 4 verse 3. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servant, nor the men of the guard, which follow me, none of us put them off for washing. Very, very focused. They were after the tax. Now, let's move on now because of time. What is discipline? What is discipline? Discipline is self-discipline. It's an attitude consciously cultivated towards the achievement of one goal. Attitude that you must consciously cultivate. You must consciously cultivate. You must consciously cultivate. Discipline is not a gift. It's a choice. It's a choice. Don't tell me he has a gift of self-control. He cultivated that. He built on that. You must consciously cultivate it. Consciously cultivate it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Paul gave us three scenarios. 2 Timothy 3, verse 6. He mentioned the soldier, he mentioned the athletes, and he mentioned the farmer. These three are people that when they want the best, they invest, they are much more disciplined. A soldier man on parade, if they say turn left, you turn right, you see what will happen to you. You must be focused, not to lose focus. Discipline. He mentioned the soldier. Look at verse 5. Of 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Let me start from verse 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. So if you don't want hard life, endure hardness. If you don't want hard life. Now let's move on now. Let's look at the athletes. Verse 5. If a man also strive for mastery, yet is not crowned, except he strives lawfully, lawfully. So the athlete must cultivate the habit of being disciplined and follow their lane. If you run into somebody's lane and you came first, you'll be disqualified because you did it wrongly. Maintain your lane and maintain your focus and be very disciplined. Be very disciplined. Now, when you jump to verse 6, he mentioned the farmer. He said the husbandman, that laborer, must be the first partaker of the fruit. So farmers must work patiently and consistently before seeing their result. Now hear this. Discipline means choosing obedience over comfort. Choosing obedience over comfort. Responsibility over convenience. And purpose over pleasure. Obedience over comfort, responsibility over convenience, and purpose over pleasure. And discipline is about living under self-set rules. Being a law to yourself. Being a law to yourself. Living under self-set rules. And this is what people don't want to hear, but I'll mention it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Cast away. I bring, somebody say I. He is taking personal responsibility. I bring my body under subjection. The body must align with the conditions. The body must obey. I bring it under congestion. Now, hear this. Some areas that we need to watch out, where we need to discipline ourselves. One, our spiritual life. Somebody say, my spiritual life. Sustainable success requires being rooted and grounded spiritually. Your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is key. It's key. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' tales. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Now look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. It is very good. But godliness is what? Profitable unto what? All things. Be spiritually disciplined. Discipline your prayer life. Discipline your Bible study life. Discipline your church coming life. Be disciplined. Can I tell you this? The system of this place is in such a way that you always have something to do. You have to consciously create that time for yourself. If you don't create it, there is always something for you to do. There is always something for you to do. So a disciplined man will have a schedule for his life so that you maintain your spirituality, which is key. Your spirituality. Some of you only pray when you come to church. It's risky. It's risky. Prayer only do not change things. Prayer changes an individual. It changes an individual. As we behold him in a glass, we are changed into the same image from all glory to glory. So anytime you are commune with him every day, you are transformed. In the realm of the spirit, you are transformed. That is why I want to admonish every one of you. Be part of the prayer force. It's not to worry you, but it's to change you. There are some forces, they are not scared of appearance. They are not scared of your grammar, but they are scared of your spiritual authority. And you gain that spiritual authority on the prayer ground. Somebody say, God, increase me to maintain my spiritual life. What again? The works of your hand. Discipline, the works of your hand. 1 Timothy 4, Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Do your own business. To work with your hands as we command you. Do your own business. I mean, invest the best of your time, energy, and resources into your own business. Stop calling people on the phone talking about people's business. The business that you are talking about, he has employers, and you are still on minimum wage, and you have time to talk about his business. God help you. The time that you are talking about his business, use that time to invest in your own self. How long do you want to be on that minimum wage? You can't be a blessing when you are on a salary because you have not even paid yourself. How much will you be a blessing to somebody? Invest yourself into that business. If you are even working for somebody now, invest yourself. Keep developing yourself. Instead of being busybody, talking about people's business. And hear this, the more you talk about their business, the more they will flourish. So it means the devil will give you work to do every day. He will give you something to talk about to destabilize you from focusing on yourself. May God grace us that we will develop ourselves. What again? Time management. Time management. Areas that we can discipline ourselves. Time management. Benjamin Franklin made a statement. He says, do you love life? Then invest time. Don't squander it, for it is the stuff life is made of. It is the stuff life is made of. Highly disciplined people have utmost value for time. They have value for time. When you have no value for time, you start losing value without knowing. You have no value for time. It's not every party that you must be there. Particularly when they have not invited you. You have too much time for yourself. And you became offended because they did not invite you. And you even sneak in there when you were even a burden to them. Your name is not on the list. You still going to sit over there. Because you don't have time. You don't value time. You don't value time. If you value time, every minute must make sense to you. Look at people who are making it. They don't joke with their time. That's why they have a business. They have an appointment schedule. If you are not on appointment, they say don't come in. But you are always appointment free. Can you accompany me to London? Oh, I'm on my way. From London, we go to Glasgow. I'll meet you over there. From Glasgow, we go to... God help you. Invest that energy and that time into that business. and see how productive that business will be. Invest time. Don't waste time. There's something we teach in BCC, that time management is life management. You manage your time, you are managing your life. May God help us that will redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, 24 divided by 3 is what? 8. So if you sleep 8 hours every day, you are sleeping 1/3 of your life. Do you know that? You sleep 8 hours like that. So I'm just giving you just an idea. I'm not telling you to go and sleep for 4 hours, so I'm just telling you. So now choose what is good for you now. Now, if you are 75 and you slept 8 hours every day, how many years have you slept of your life? How many? Stop counting your fingers. Your fingers will not reach 75. 75 divided by 3 is what? You have slept 25 years of your life away when you are 75. So you can see. Now, this is just for sleeping, you know. Glasgow didn't come in. Edinburgh didn't come in. Scotland didn't come in. If you added everything, you realize you have even slept half of your life, wasted half of your life away. May God engrace us that will manage our time productively. Somebody say, God, engrace me. God, engrace me to manage my time. Another area that I need to mention is pleasure. Pleasure. Discipline in pleasure means allowing desire or entertainment to control one's life. Control one's life. God allow enjoyment, but believers must avoid being ruled by worldly pleasure. Spiritual maturity requires choosing what honors God rather than merely feeling good. 2 Timothy 3 verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hear this, what controls your pleasure will eventually control your life. What controls your pleasure? What other area that we can also control ourselves? Our mouth. Somebody in my mouth. Discipline of the mouth refers to control the way that we speak. There are some marriages, if they have controlled their mouth, the marriage will still be stable. It has scattered because they both use their mouth to control, to scatter things. You should be able to control your mouth. It's not every scenario that you must speak. At times you must keep quiet for things to work well. That is discipline of the mouth. Discipline of the mouth. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. A disciplined tongue reveals a disciplined heart. What again? Strive. Strive. Discipline in dealing with strife means learning to control anger and avoid unnecessary conflict. Some people cannot control their anger. But anger must be controlled. If not, you'll be under the subjection of anger. I met one guy, a small boy, that he says anytime he gets angry, he must hit something. So in my presence, he got angry at somebody and he hit the wall. It was a big bang. So I went out and I said, what is happening? He was shaking like this. I said, hit it again. So the anger will disappear. Young guy, he can't control his anger. Hit it. I said, well, I thought you can hit it again because you want to manage the anger through that. Hit it again. If you break that hand, next time you know the hand that you are going to use to hit that thing again. We must manage our anger. Marriage couples, manage your anger. In the heat of anger, certain words are spoken and the words are seen and they begin to have impact in the family. And you begin to ask God, why this? You have forgotten you spoke those things. You are forgetting you made those statements. The angels are always on standby. Any negative word that comes out, they work on it. That will not happen to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Then what again, quickly? Dressing. Somebody say dressing. Discipline your dressing. We have been redeemed as kings and priests. Do we know how kings dress? Yo, youth, do you know how princess dress? We have been redeemed. The way that you dress is the way that you be addressed. Dress well modestly, as Bible admonishes. Can I say this to our young ladies? The beauty is not on your outward look. Your beauty is inside. Your beauty is inside. Stop exposing yourself to people. When you start exposing yourself, they are class of men that will never approach you. You will limit yourself. You will limit yourself. There are some caliber of men that will never approach you because they see you differently. You are showing all your breasts out. Is that dressing? He said, that is modern days. Well, see the modern man that will come and marry you. The modern man will be the one with a six-pack. That when you behave, he will just carry you with a six-pack. Be disciplined in your dressing. You are being redeemed as a king and a priest. So when you dress, stand in the mirror, ask yourself, how would a king dress? How would a queen dress? If the answer is yes, just step out comfortably. Dress very well. Get your most of the is due to what was exposed outside that attracted them to pursue you. If everything is covered, they know that this one is a different class. He's in a different class. They know them. They know those who belong to the church and they know those who belong to the world. Today, let there be a difference. Manage and discipline the way that you dress. Somebody say, God, help me. What are we saying again? Discipline is about staying focused on one's mission. Be very focused on one's mission. Whatever God has entrusted into your hand, be very focused. When you focus on your focus, as God's servant told us in the first service, you will soon be the focus. When you focus on your focus, you will soon be the focus. We can see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I pray that God will help us. So self-discipline gave the following their place in destiny. Look at them. One, Joseph. Joseph exercised moral discipline. Moral discipline. Genesis 39. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He refused temptation from Potiphar's wife, even though no one else was there, but he refused. He refused discipline, moral. You are in a relationship. You are not married yet. Please set boundaries. Set boundaries to guide you. After all, that person is not running away. Just wait for the appointed time for God to make things gloriously. Don't let the devil confuse you that we want to be sure that we are compatible. We marry by faith, not by sight. If you want to be compatible, you will end up testing everybody to see whether you are compatible. And the devil will just be leading you astray. Don't set boundary. You are visited. It's getting to 11 p.m. You say, can we raise a prayer altar? For what? Go home and raise your prayer altar. Push the person out. He said, Pastor, so we must have midnight prayer. That one is personal. It's not corporate. It's personal. So go and have your own midnight prayer so I can have my own. Because the moment you realize it's not midnight prayer, if something is touching me, can you help me? The devil is tricky. We must be very smart. Don't get yourself into there. Joseph knew it. There was nobody. There was nobody. But he knew God was there. I always tell people, two guys, a man and a son, that they went to the farm to steal. The dad told the son, son, as I'm stealing this goose, stand there. If somebody comes, or somebody's coming, or somebody appears, just give me a whistle so that we can run. The man was busy stealing everything. Then the son whistled. The man was looking around. The boy was pointing up. He was looking around. He said, Daddy, nobody's around, but God is watching you. So in your closet, God is watching you. Whatever you do in secret, it is already being seen. I pray that God will take us out of it. Set boundaries to control your life. And that is what gave Joseph his place. Imagine he has slept with Potiphar's wife. Where would Joseph be now? The highest qualification would have been the chief cleaner as compared to prime minister. Your destiny will not be affected. We saw that in the life of Daniel as well. He stood that by that he will not define himself with a portion of the king's mean. And God came through for him. We saw that also in the case of Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle also the same thing stood in and he wrote about 50% of the New Testament. Either generational or diabolical. You can't see them, but their effects always is there. They work in the realm of the spirit. Look at Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Somebody say against flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. Spiritual weakness. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So all this thing is telling us that these things are real. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Curses often manifest in same negative trend, running down one's lineage. Hereditary disease, from mother to children, then grandchildren, carry on. We also have failure syndrome, depression, marital crisis. Nobody enjoys marriage. Everybody married in that family, they are fighting. Husbands are kicking them out. Wives are running away. Nothing seems to be working. Miscarriages, barrenness, business frustration. But the good news is that these cases are reversible. I say these cases are reversible. I say these cases are reversible. When one is born again, he becomes a member of God's own family. Somebody say, I belong to God's own family. So your family lineage has changed. So whatever is happening in that family line can no longer hold you to ransom again. Today, every chain of frustration, they will be broken in this service. Every form of marital siege will be destroyed in this service. Every form of barrenness will be humiliated in this service. Numbers 22 verse 23. 23 verse 23. Surely, there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, which is today, it shall be said concerning you and of Israel what God has wrought. I'm believing God for you and your family. Whatever that is drawing that family back, whatever that is pulling that family down, today your liberty has finally come. If the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. Your freedom has finally come. Declare to yourself, my freedom has finally come. But the good in all these causes are reversible. They are reversible. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12, verse 3. And I will bless them, and that bless thee, and cause him that causes thee. Indeed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. When you are saved, you are Abraham's seed. You come under Abraham's blessing. So whatever that used to hold you down before, today your liberty has finally come. When one is saved and remain in faith, he or she is free from all curses. When you are saved and remain in faith, you are free. You are free. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Acts 3, verse 26. Unto you first, raising up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you. So Jesus came to bless you. He came to deliver you. He came to set you free. Any form of invisible forces against your life, they are declared shattered right now. Numbers 23, verse 8. Numbers 23, verse 8. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom God has not defiled? So all these things is a signal that your liberty has finally come. As you keep serving God and advance his kingdom, he keeps you away from all form of curses. I pray for somebody hearing me. Any form of traits affecting your business, affecting your career, affecting your marriage, today by the power of the anointing, they shall all be destroyed. I said they shall all be destroyed. I said they shall all be destroyed. I said they shall all be destroyed. Everyone in service today, expect all curses, generational, diabolical, to be broken off your lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Proverbs 23, verse 18. For surely there is an end. Somebody say there is an end. God has brought an end to that marital siege. God has brought an end to that health challenge. God has brought an end to that business frustration. God has brought an end to that stagnation. God has brought an end to that challenge in that family. Because of your expectation today, God will manifest himself. I say he will manifest himself. I say he will manifest himself. By the anointing today, any curse upon your life, upon your business, they will be humiliated. I said they will be humiliated. I said they will be humiliated. Declare to yourself today is my day of salvation, my day of rescue, my day of deliverance, my day of freedom. Rise to your feet and begin to appreciate him now. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Thank him and thank him. Your salvation has finally come. Your freedom has finally come. Your salvation has finally come. Your freedom has finally come. Somebody thank him. You can't serve God and be under any torment. Your deliverance is today. Your deliverance is today. Your freedom is today. Your deliverance is today. Somebody thank God for the rescue brought to you and your family and your business and your career in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hear this. God's servant is going to come in a minute to release the blessing and to help us, and you are going to be anointed as well. God is in a hurry to do something. Whatever came with you is not going to go back with you. Every negativity in your life, they'll be dropping off today. But hear this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Why it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Hear me, Jesus wants to set you free. God sent Jesus to bless you. And when Jesus is resident in you, you are out of curses. The reason why you are struggling, he's not there. Light will never struggle with darkness. The reason why you are struggling, the light is not there. So today, Jesus is in a hurry to set you free. When he gains access into your life, he lightens your body. He lightens your family. He lightens your home. With our eyes closed, with our head bowed, say, Jesus, I need you into my heart to lighten my body and to lighten my life. With our eyes closed, with head bowed, you need Jesus into your heart. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift it up boldly and confidently. Lift it up. God bless you. God bless you. Nobody's looking at you. Lift it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You have lifted up a right hand quickly. Make your way to the altar now. Please take a step of faith. Come to the altar now. Just if your right hand is up, take a step of faith now. Come to the altar now. Your right hand is up. Please take a step of faith. Come to the altar now quickly. Come to the altar now. Church, let's celebrate them as they make their way to the front now. Come to the altar now. You lifted up your right hand. You need Jesus into your heart to lighten you and to lighten your body, to lighten your family. Take that bold step now. We are waiting for you now. We are waiting for you now. Take that bold step now. You lifted up your right hand now. Take a step of faith. Make your way to the altar now. 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 When you get access into your life, he lightens your body and lightens your life. And when your life is lightened, no devil can contest with you. Somebody take that bold step. We are waiting for you now quickly. Take that bold step. Take that bold step. Take that bold step. Take that bold step. Take that step. Now, those of us in front, put your right hand on your chest and say these prayers after me. Let it come from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace that has located me. Thank you for your word that you have sent in my direction. Today, I declare you as my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart, die with me, and restore me to glory and dignity. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. And thank you for delivering me in Jesus' mighty name. Now I pray for you upon this confession. The blessings of today will speak for you, and it will answer for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you for making this step and taking this bold step. Please, one of our pastors is on my right hand there, waving his hand. Walk up to him. They will give you a free information and take a moment of your time. Then after that, you'll come back and join us. Church, let's celebrate Jesus.
We believe you were blessed by this sermon. For more messages like this, you can join us at Winners Chapel International, Birmingham. Call us on 0121-622-1662 or email us at info.birmingham@winners-chapel.org. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again next time. Jesus is Lord.